In a way, we should define death. Adam and Eve did die when they disobeyed God. They didn't die biologically at that moment, but death means separation. And they were separated from God right away, spiritually dead. If that went on forever and ever, that would be eternal death. Right away, God promised that one of her offspring would come, a singular he would come and smash the head of the snake. Seed is not used of animals in the Bible, so the snake seed would be Satan's followers, Satan's demonic followers, Satan's evil followers. The one deliverer would come and smash the head of all of the evil offspring. God's response at the close of Genesis 3 was to curse the snake and the ground. Those are the direct objects of the curse, but of course there was punishment. And we begin in Genesis 3:16. They've already talked about punishment for the snake, but now punishment is for women and for men. Genesis 3:16, the first part is for ladies that are mothers. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Well, having kids was in the original plan. Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, so there always would be kids. God made countless angels, but only two people, and he had a great plan for marriage and the family and childbirth. Out of it would come all of these kids, so childbirth itself was always intended, but now it has pain. I remember from researching the verses in the Bible on the unborn that the word for labor and pain are together. In other words, childbirth, labor, and pain are the same word in the Hebrew. It's used over in Job chapter 10. I split verse 16 for a couple of reasons. In the King James, we might remember, in conceptions you shall have pain. And, of course, that's not biologically true, but it's true the way the Hebrews think, and that's why I thought it was important to spend some time in it. They would think of conception and childbirth as all part of the same process. They would think of childbirth as hopefully beginning at conception. They would not think as we do, and there might be some purpose for medical research to divide it, you know, zygote, fetus, then eventually infant. And maybe for a medical studies to look at the development, there's some value in that. But in a Hebrew mindset, the King James is actually right, that conception begins the process of childbirth. And the way they would think, it's all together. God knows all the days for a person before we were ever born, Psalm 139. To Jeremiah, he said, and I think it applies to everybody, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Obviously, our biological aspects come from our ancestors through DNA. Have you ever thought where the soul comes from? Where does the immaterial part of a person come from? Well, God is all done creating. He finished on day six creating, so he's not creating anything more. So it really wouldn't be a very good thought that every time a baby is conceived, God creates a soul. Also, the origin of the sin nature has to be from the ancestors. Psalm 51, in sin my mother conceived me. In other words, the sin nature, part of the immaterial human, passes on from ancestors. There's a really a strange text in Hebrews 7. It applies to Melchizedek, so we would get it in Genesis. In Genesis 14, we would get it. But it says that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek inside of his great-grandfather, Abraham. Really weird. But what that means is the immaterial part of humans is passed on from ancestors. That the soul begins at conception. And in that aspect, abortion is a great evil. Now, every time this subject comes up, I always think, because it's been going on for so long, we have to say that it is forgivable sin. A person can trust in Jesus as Savior. A person can be forgiven, and it can be put in the past. On the other hand, there is a warning in the Bible. It is wrong. It's seriously wrong. And here in Genesis 3:16, the first part, the way a Hebrew person would think about it, conception begins childbirth. It's all one process. So in that thought, that killing an unborn baby is a great evil. Also, and perhaps another reason to split verse 16 in two, is one part's about childbirth, the next part is about gender roles in the family. So we come now to the last sentence of verse 16. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. There are two interpretations over this word desire. One is negative and one is positive. A more newer understanding is desire means a desire to dominate. It's negative. You will desire to dominate your husband now, but he will still have authority over you. However, I think that's basically reading in a modern mindset back into Genesis. The modern mindset, not so much in our circles, but the modern mindset is to dominate men. You will not. You will not submit to your husband, but that's the way it's supposed to be, and that would be the interpretation, a very negative desire. You will want to control him. I think that's reading modern thoughts into it. The more older way, I believe, is correct. You want to get married, and husbands still have authority. I think that with many, many ladies, young ladies, they want to have children. It is normal to want to have children. It is not always possible, but it is normal to want to have children. A modern mindset, which seems to be creeping more, is that people don't want to have children. They don't have anything to do with it. Even if they could have, they don't want them. That really is not normal psychology. I think I do a pretty good job leaving politics out of the pulpit, but I've heard some congresswomen lately saying that nobody should have children. Abnormal psychology. That's nuts. For nobody to want children, that's nuts. Normal psychology, I believe, is the correct interpretation of the first sentence here in 16b. It's normal to want to someday have children. That's a normal goal. The second part, he shall rule over you, that brings in the gender role subject. Verse 16, I think, is saying that nothing really has changed because husband's authority in the home was from the beginning. If we're careful with interpreting it, Genesis 2:18 is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. That's before the fall. That was intended. Also regarding authority, 1 Timothy 2:12-13 based it on the order of creation. For because it was Adam who was first created, then Eve. In other words, it was intended from the beginning. So from the beginning, God's plan was for husbands to have final authority in the home. And verse 16 is basically telling Eve that's still in place. That has not changed. You will want to get married, and he will still have authority over you, even though it might not be easier since both are sinners and both tend to be selfish. Well, we've already said it's normal to want children. Let's talk a little bit about gender roles. I noticed this years ago when my cousin went to Michigan State, that they were in the psychology classes attacking Christians. But what they were doing was attacking what you call a straw man or a caricature. They would make up what they thought the Bible teaches. And usually people who hate the Bible are not experts on the Bible. They would make up a character of what it teaches and then try to show how terrible it is. In the Bible, there's a lot on the tongue and the mouth. There's a lot on communication. Regarding homes, 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, dwell with your wives in an understanding way and grant her honor as the heirs of life, that your prayers not be hindered. I think 1 Peter 3:7 is reinforcing communication. And my thoughts on this and advice on this is there should be lots of communication in the house. There might be a lot of day-to-day things that don't need to be talked about again. We just sort of do them. But if there's a serious decision, there should be some communication about it. Also in the Bible, in the authority of the Bible, the master is always a servant. It doesn't matter what authority you have. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example, where it says in Matthew 20:25, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In the Bible, like the Lord Jesus Christ, the leader is always a servant and makes decisions that are in the best interest of anybody under that authority. It doesn't matter what authority you pick. That would be the Bible's view of it. A political leader should use that authority in the best interest of the citizens. A parent has authority over children, but should use that authority in the best interest of the children. Church leaders, the Bible gives them authority, but should be used in the best interest of the church members or church family. Likewise here, where authority is given, it should be used in the best interest of those under the authority. And I would say in a marriage, it kind of works out this way. If something is a very serious decision, there should be communication about it. Well, with your wife in an understanding way, there should be communication about it. When that happens, a lot of the times there'll be agreement on it. Now, sometimes it might not be an agreement, but it doesn't have to be done right now. It can wait. Sometimes there's a deadline. That would be the situation where most comes into play, where the husbands have the right to make a decision. Communicate about it. Try to agree. Most time can agree. Or most time can wait. Sometimes there's a deadline. Can't wait. Somebody has to decide. There it is. That would work out better if there's been a pattern of communication. It'd work out better if there'd be a pattern of being unselfish and doing what is in the best interest of the entire family. Now, that is the way the Christian system ought to be explained and not just attacked. By the way, my cousin was working on his graduate degree in psychology, and he wasn't a Christian then, but he didn't believe it anyway. He didn't believe the attacks anyway, because he knew the Christian side of the family lived different than what they were explaining. He didn't believe it then. So, good for Rob. Now he's a leader in a Baptist church, and if you have a drug addiction in Battle Creek and they take you to the hospital, he's the one that does the counseling. But he didn't believe that liberal character of the Christian home when they were giving it to him at Michigan State. He just said, the rest of our family doesn't live that way. It was all Christians are cruel and mean and they beat women. He didn't believe it then. Another thing about verse 16 is in the liberal religious circles, they will say that the submission of women was part of the curse, and Jesus nulled the curse. Well, this order was from the beginning, even before there was a curse. And also, if you'll let me not read them all, there's 10 verses here on women submit to your husbands. And they're all in the New Testament, and they're all after Jesus died on the cross. So it will work if it's fully understood of dwell with your wives in an understanding way and have lots of communication. And if the master has always been a servant, and then that will work. If there's a deadline that comes and someone has to decide, Now we go from the comments to the woman. Now Adam gets some comments in verses 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I command you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you will return. Well, God planned childbirth before the fall, and now there's pain, and I think God planned work before the fall. Take care of the animals, pick the fruit, at the very least. But now there is labor. See, it's labor in both. Labor and pain are the same Hebrew word. Labor, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. We're made in the image of God, so we all feel good when we are accomplishing something. He is the creator. When we create something, we all feel good about it. It's the way we're made. Everybody does a little bit of a creative work a different way. I can't sing, as we heard. I can't do that creative thing. And some can cook, and some can build houses, and some can fix cars. And we all feel better doing a little bit of work, but now there's a trouble here with it. Thorns and thistles, we'll have to think more about them. They were either maybe innately within the plants and not expressed yet, or else they were in parts of the garden where no one's going to be harmed by them, but now there are going to be a lot of them. In verse 18, I do think they were vegetarians to start with. The meat eating starts after the flood, Genesis 9:3. And for 4th of July, we did talk about Abraham Lincoln. This verse brings him to mind. He said, slavery is eating by the sweat of another person's face. And the curse is we all have to work to survive. Adam would go back to dust. The Hebrew word for ground and dust is Adam. That's his name. Dust to dust made the English book of prayer and is sometimes used in funerals. This would be the biological part of it. Death is separation. It came about as her soul was departing from her body. It's talking about Rachel's death, Genesis 35:18. It's separation. As the body without the spirit is dead, James 2:26, death is separation. So they did die the day they sinned, in the sense they were separated from God, and then what is coming here is a biological death. Although we're made in the image of God, so the soul lives on, and we are eternal in our immaterial nature, just as God is. We're made in his image. It's a very unpleasant topic to think about, but it can be good spiritually. I don't mean dwell on the end all the time, but it can be good because it'll make us turn to the Bible for answers and make us think about how important God's word is and God's plan is. Unless there's the rapture, that's where it'll end. And again, I started thinking about this when I was 5 years old and the neighbor died. The guy up the street who taught me how to play checkers. He can't teach me how to play checkers anymore. So from age 5, I'm thinking, wow. So there is some value in kids being around older people that are lost and then start to think. You must think about it, and I don't mean being morbid, but I mean do everything that can be done. Verse 20 is coming, and she gets a name. She hasn't been named yet. Isn't that funny? Verse 20, now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Chi is life. It's it related to this. I won't go into all the Hebrew, but it's close. Her name is life. We did talk about this. We're past the creation science of Genesis 1 and 2, but we talked about we have a common mother. We'll get a little bit more to creation science with soft tissue dinosaurs when we get to the Genesis flood in chapter 6. And geologic columns, like after the flood, learning from Mount St. Helens how fast they were made air in Montana. But the idea that we all have a common mother is true, and evolutionists agree with it. They called her mitochondrial Eve. That was their name. It wasn't the Christians that come up with it. I think I passed out the article on it. If not, I can make it to you. It's Acts and Facts Archives, Brian Thomas, September 7th, 2010. He's quoting an evolutionary journal that does agree that we all have a common mother. Evolutionists are most concerned about a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated that mitochondrial Eve lived 100,000 to 200,000 years ago in Africa. Using a new clock, it would be 6,000 years. Now, he's quoting evolutionists, and the evolutionists say we have a common mother 100,000 years ago or so. That's the evolutionists. If you use the same mutation rate that the FBI uses, it's earlier. And I can print that article off for you, or Brian Thomas, X and Facts. Now, I have lots of books, but when I'm in a hurry and I'd like something short, that's what I do. I do ICR.org, X and Facts, Archives, type in what I want to learn. In this case, it was mitochondrial Eve. It could be all kinds of other things, but I would encourage you to have lots of books in your library also, but if you want to do something short and fast, we all have a common mother, and even the evolutionists ought to agree with it. Verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. The covering of fig leaves may be applied to someone. We hide our sins without going to God. And when we did that last week, we said religion without trust in Jesus is a fig leaf. False religions, non-Christian religions, or Christian religions where they don't really believe anything anymore, it's just a fig leaf, pretending that we have not done any wrong or that we've done enough good to make up for it. God is the only one that can take the initiative and fix sin and shame. And it is commonly pointed out this must be the first animal death, too, because he made a skin for them. Verse 22, they're getting ready to leave Eden. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. The man has become like one of us. There are all these plurals in the Hebrew Bible referring to the deity. Hints that there's one God in three persons. Let us make man our own image, Genesis 1:28. Genesis 11:7. Let us go down and confuse their language. Some who object say this is the plural of complexity. And some say he's talking to the angels. Let us, God and the angels, go down and confuse their language. It didn't work real well with creation. Let us make man in our image. Angels are not creators. So it does seem that there are hints of the Trinity, even in the Old Testament. And we have some more of those that we could talk about, but I think the plural is a hint. Another interesting thing here is it wouldn't be good if they lived forever in a fallen world. That's God's statement. It wouldn't be good if they go on and on and on in a fallen world. Perhaps I should have picked Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 for our scripture reading. Ron Byers drew my attention to it years ago. It was like after a funeral. The righteous perish and no one ponders it. Devoted men die and are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared of evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest and they lie down in death. Interesting thought. We don't want to be morbid and want to die before our time. But there is a thought that living on and on and on this fallen world wouldn't be all that good. Would it be good to live 1,000 years in a world like this? And this verse is saying it's more merciful if they don't live on and on, especially if they've been forgiven their sins and have eternal life, of course. And that would be offered to Adam and Eve. Now we'll look at the expulsion from Eden. That'll do it for today. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim, and the flaming sword was turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Adam and Eve had to leave the garden because God said it would not be merciful, it would not be best if they could eat of the tree of life and live on and on and on. Now, he would offer them a deliverer, and he would offer them eternal life without sin. But if it's a fallen, sinful world, living in that world forever and ever might not be the best. Cherubim are here. We're looking at the beginning references to angels in the Bible. 90 references to cherubim. I think that's quite a bit. 90 references to them. They were on the tapestries in the tabernacle. They were golden cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. Four faces in Ezekiel with little gyroscope bottoms like wheels. They're like at the bottom of the chariot throne of God, pulling them around. At least a half dozen verses talk about God sits enthroned above the cherubim, which would be true of the Shekinah glory in the temple, but also probably in heaven. He sits enthroned above the cherubim. And like this story, the cherubim seem to guard the holiness of God and keep sin away. For a little review, God planned childbirth before the fall, but now it will have labor or pain. Same word there. Conception and childbirth in Hebrew are all part of the same process. Conception is, if all things are healthy, the beginning, and they are all together. Not separated. They are all together. That relates to the rite of life. We all have one common mother. And the reference to her was, you will want to get married, or most women will want to get married and have children, and if it's God's plan for them. But it will now hurt. But he still will have the rule over you, which would work out and actually be safe if it's fully understood. Old Testament hints at the Trinity. What's a first in the Bible? And although Genesis 4 is past creation, we'll start to get to the first babies. We'll also get to the first murders. Let's pray together and then...